Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Canadian PodCow. And I'm here with my colleague, Andrew Campbell.
Hey, Sarah. Now, before we do get started, I did want to thank all of our listeners right off the bat for tuning in, because we got some great news in the last couple of months, and it's because people like you are choosing the Canadian PodCow.
Yes, because you're actually listening to what we have to say occasionally. The Canadian PodCow has been selected amongst the 30 best Canadian agriculture podcasts by FeedSpot,
which was ranked by relevancy, authority, social media followers, and freshness. And there is nothing fresher, Sarah, than the two of us here at the PodCow.
I'm dying to know the criteria for freshness. But anyway, we're really thankful and proud to have made that list, and we'll keep trying to bring you interesting and relevant content about dairy in Canada.
So speaking of relevant content, we're actually going to do something a little bit different today. What we're going to do is actually bring you in to a conversation that's actually led by Stephen Roche, an animal health researcher from Acer Consulting based in Guelph, Ontario. And this is part of a podcast series from the Dairy Farmers of Canada on ProAction.
Yeah, the focus of these podcasts is to try to help Canadian dairy producers make informed decisions specifically about animal care on their farms and to support them in striving for continuous improvement.
They've got some very interesting topics in that series, so we figured it would be interesting for the PodCow Nation to hear those discussions. And Sarah, today's topic is sometimes misunderstood. It's biosecurity. What comes to mind when you hear biosecurity, Sarah?
Well, I'm a big fan of the boot wash, but for some, it evokes hazmat suits, sterile environments, shower in, shower out facilities, quarantines. I mean, all these measures on the farm that we would use to ultimately try to keep the animals safe.
Well, and that's the thing. And certainly, you know, some sectors are going to go to different lengths. Canadian dairy industry, that's not quite the same most of the time. It's about finding that balance of what's actually practical to try to limit new diseases from entering the barn, so that it does actually work for both, as you said, animal health, as well as for your team and people coming and going.
Exactly, Andrew. Biosecurity doesn't always have to be complex or time-consuming, but it is pretty essential for sustainably maintaining a happy, healthy, high-producing herd.
So in this episode, Stephen Roche is going to have a discussion with Dr. Herman Barkema, a veterinarian researcher at the University of Calgary. Herman hails from the Netherlands and has worked with dairy farmers and organizations worldwide. He focuses a lot on preventing infectious diseases in dairy cattle.
And Stephen's going to take it away. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, Herman, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today and have a chance to chat with you a little bit about why biosecurity is important from a Canadian dairy farmer perspective. You've got an international and globally recognized research program that's looked at a lot of these things, and I think you've got a lot of important messages that we can help discuss and hopefully shed some light on for producers out there when they're looking at how they might go about implementing biosecurity practices on their farm. But like I said, more importantly, I really want to try and uncover that why. So thanks again for being here. Really appreciate it.
Okay, great to be on your podcast, Steve. Thank you.
So, Herman, you'll be a familiar name for some out there and for others that might not have had a chance to hear you speak or read some of the work you've done. Can you just give us a brief overview about yourself, your role in the Canadian dairy industry and the global industry as a whole and your experience with biosecurity?
So I'm a prof at the University of Calgary, prof in epidemiology of infectious diseases. I hold a research chair in infectious diseases of dairy cattle that is for a big part funded by the Canadian dairy industry. And I've worked in dairy research for nearly 30 years now, which started in the Netherlands, but also in Costa Rica and Zimbabwe. And I came to Canada in 2001 to Prince Edward Island, to the Atlantic Veterinary College, worked there for 5 years, and then was asked to come to Calgary to help build the vet school here in Calgary. I've always worked a lot with dairy organizations. I often feel that I'm very much with the farmers. I often say that my research is for the farmers, with the farmers. So it's on-farm research. And then I've also visited a lot of herds that have problems with infectious diseases, and then particularly a focus on mastitis, Joni's disease, and also lameness.
Great. So, you know, we throw the term biosecurity around a lot. It's the answer or a part of the answer for the prevention and control of many diseases, or most diseases that we experience on the farm. And over the years, you know, I've found people, when we talk about the word biosecurity, people take that to mean many different things. Some people think of sort of the hazmat suits. We think of maybe some of the COVID-19 situation that we're dealing with here, and people wearing masks and gloves and working in a sterile environment. Well, others think of biosecurity much differently. Can you break the term down a little bit for us in the context of a farm or the Canadian dairy industry as a whole, Herman? What does biosecurity mean for Canadian dairy farmers?
So biosecurity indeed should mean something different for every farmer, because it is a prevention of transmission of diseases that are important for your farm. And of course, we have the overall devastating diseases like foot and mouth disease that we don't want to get into Canada. But we also, it means prevention of transmission of Staph aureus mastitis in the milking parlor, or crypto from calf to calf, or digital dermatitis from cow to cow. So it should also mean something different for every farmer, because if you don't have digital dermatitis, then you don't worry about prevention of digital dermatitis to go from cow to cow. But you worry about getting it into your herd. And so there are two levels of biosecurity. The one is the herd level, where you are free of certain diseases and don't want to get them into your herd. And the second one is prevention of the spread in your herd. And again, it's quite different if you think of biosecurity for a hoof disease than it is for an other disease or for a respiratory disease.
So it's really about tailoring. Well, biosecurity needs to be tailored for each individual farm based on what they have and what they're potentially exposed to and want to prevent from it coming into the operation.
Yes, it is quite different from Joni's disease, where the transmission from cow to calf or from calf to calf is important, or with a digital dermatitis, where it is from cow to cow to manure in the alleys or other ways of transmission. So but the overall picture can be quite similar, because the one big risk factor for getting diseases on your farm is buying cows. I sometimes say the diseases are bought and paid for. So the best way to not get diseases in is being careful with the animals that you purchase. But it's also with the people that you get on your farm. The people that go from farm to farm, like inseminators, veterinarians, hoof trimmers, they have to be careful for not bringing diseases to your herd, and you need to talk with them about it, because it is your farm.
Absolutely. So before we dig into too many of the other details, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the reasons why we need to really focus in on biosecurity from a national level and at the farm level. Why should producers care? Some of the answers are obvious, but are there others that we should be trying to communicate to producers and their staff on the farms about why we need to be diligent with biosecurity practices on a day in and day out basis?
So these diseases cause all kinds of problems. I only have to talk about mastitis and Staph aureus, but also recently we got more and more infections with mycoplasma in the herd. And that was because, with the quota system that we have, with the price for fat, a lot of farms were able to expand because their quota expanded. And the only reason that they could do it was by purchasing animals. So with that, animals came to the herd with diseases, and we see now outbreaks of mycoplasma. Mastitis is a disease that we hardly ever saw in Canada. That was a disease of the south of the US. So that there is a very good reason to be concerned getting diseases in your herd. You want to cut the prevention, or you want to work on the prevention as much as possible, because these diseases cause damage. They cause reproductive problems. They cause lameness, respiratory problems. We have many, many infectious diseases that on the dairy farms, and we have not eradicated even one in the last decades. We're getting new diseases all the time. Salmonella Dublin is one of the examples. We now have problems, particularly in Quebec and also in the south of Ontario with Salmonella Dublin. And yeah, that's a disease you don't want to get.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've seen that firsthand, and it's certainly a nasty one. And that, I guess, speaks a little bit to some of the issues we see, and hear everyone from veterinarians and other on-farm advisors to farmers talking about, which is complacency. Biosecurity is an easy thing to talk about, but it requires habit. It requires a lot of different and sometimes seemingly small and insignificant tasks to be done in a very specific way to prevent the transmission of bugs, from place to place. And I guess when we think about a little bit of the history of the Canadian dairy industry, we've been pretty fortunate to not have some of the more devastating diseases like you spoke about, foot and mouth disease, or, we only need to look to hogs and poultry to see some of the devastating diseases they've had to deal with. Now, in those examples and dairy industries such as the UK, where they have to actually implement much more stricter and sometimes mandated biosecurity protocols to deal with some of these diseases, are we just fortunate in Canada to have not dealt with or been exposed to these type of diseases? And it's possible at any point this could be brought in, and that's why our producers need to be worried about it? Or is there something different with Canada that when it comes to disease spread that producers need to know?
I think we have been fortunate. Of course, our dairy industry is not, the density of farms is not as high as in countries like in Western Europe, the Netherlands, where the neighbor of a farmer is a neighbor. If the neighbor of a farmer is a farmer, and so we have quite some distance here. But it's not only the dairy farms. Dairy farms have cattle, and beef farms also have cattle. So, and then a lot of those diseases, like foot and mouth disease, also affect swine. So We I think we have been lucky with those large diseases, but we really need to be careful, because it's not only the economic damage, the direct damage that these diseases do, but it's also what the public thinks of the dairy industry. Milk is seen as a healthy, green product that is produced by happy cows. And we need to really, really foster that picture. And we cannot have people having the idea that they're getting sick of milk. And so we need to not only look at what diseases cause economic problems directly to our farm, but also diseases like Joni's disease, like lepto, like salmonella, that can cause problems in people. We call that zoonotic diseases. And then also, we should not only think of the public, but we also should think of our own families, ourselves and our own families, and the workers on the farm. If we have a problem with crypto in the calves, we often see that the children of the on the farm also get sick. And that's also could also very well be the case with salmonella, for instance. I've seen the devastating effect of leptospirosis. And we don't pay a lot of attention to these diseases, but there's in the world a lot of farmers that got infected in the milking parlor with leptospirosis because of the aerosol, the spray with urine that comes from the cows, and they are incapacitated for the rest of their life. So we really need to be aware of the risk that we have with those diseases. And because of that, particularly in Western Europe, they made sure that those diseases got eradicated. And we hardly have any disease control programs in Canada. And I think that ProAction initiative is a great step in that direction with the biosecurity modules that we have. But in my opinion, we need to go further. And we need to start thinking of eradicating some of these diseases. And they don't only are important for the aspects that I just raised, but for instance, also we export a lot of heifers and semen. And these are diseases that these buyers of our semen look at. So there are all kinds of reasons to be concerned about these diseases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really nice summary, Herman. I mean, it touches on some of the personal reasons for farmers to worry about it, such as, you know, worrying about the immediate animal health or health and welfare of their animals, the economics and production of their operation. And you know, we've seen from other diseases in other countries, even like African swine fever, there's a lot of personal reputation, sort of the idea of being a good neighbor or being a good farmer that comes out when we deal with these issues. But as you look through the supply chain, you know, it is also about protecting your other farmers, you know, where you're selling other products to, and certainly protecting our borders and our brand as a whole, which I think you summarized nicely there. You mentioned ProAction, and one thing I wanted to touch on with ProAction in the biosecurity module specifically is we see that right now the requirements in ProAction are very SOP-based. They're really focused on developing protocols with your veterinarian and then having those as training resources and a step-by-step guide on how to go about managing certain aspects of the farm when it comes to biosecurity. Can you talk about why we're so focused from an organizational perspective? Why does the Dairy Farmers of Canada and all of us here want farmers to be developing SOPs around biosecurity, and what value do they bring, and why should producers take developing these and following how they develop them seriously?
So these SOPs have been developed by experts together with dairy farmers to make them practical on the dairy farm. They're directed towards the diseases that we think are most important to prevent getting in on a dairy farm and to prevent to be spread on a dairy farm. And you need standard operating procedures to do so. Of course, you need to adapt them to your farm and to the circumstances that you have there. And so it is very important to discuss those with the veterinarian. But yes, they are standard because there's a lot of thought that went into them, but they need to be modified sometimes for your farm. So I think it's important to do these kind of things on the dairy farms, but you also always need to keep in mind, why are we doing this? What is the reason why we are implementing these operating procedures? It's also because we want to be able to show what we do. We are delivering a product in the dairy industry, and we want to show that we care about the quality of the product, not only fat protein content, but also about not having any risk for consumers in those products.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice point. I mean, and it really links back to some of the first elements of our conversation about needing to tailor your protocols and your procedures and your overall biosecurity approach to what you have, what you're actively trying to prevent, and what you're actively trying to control on your farm. So it's a guideline, but it's very much meant to be tailored.
Correct. Yeah.
So one of the aspects that's not SOP-based, there's really two of them in ProAction right now for biosecurity, is the importance of record keeping for certain conditions and conducting a risk assessment with your veterinarian that really should be done routinely. I hear some producers express frustration or concern over the need to keep records, you know, that simply that's a lot of extra work, a lot of extra paperwork is sort of the challenge we often hear people talk about. And we hear others wonder why they need to do more than one risk assessment. You know, when we did the Yonis program here in many provinces in Canada years ago, a lot of folks adopted the use of a Yonis disease risk assessment. Here in ProAction, we have a more generic risk assessment, but they go through with their veterinarian, they highlight and discuss what's maybe the important risk areas in their farm. And then most seem to think, okay, I've done that, and then we've got that covered. What are some of the reasons we want producers to continue to you know, follow up and revise that risk assessment and keep fairly detailed records about what type of diseases they're experiencing and how they're going about treating those?
So, you know, I would say that he's often, yeah, or sometimes hear that these are a lot of work. If you if writing down the diseases, the disease cases on your farm is a lot of work, then you have a whole lot of disease. If you and then you should be worried, and then you should measure, and you should find out in what groups of animals this occurs. Is it more often in your heifers, more in your older cows, more in your early lactating animals or your later lactating animals? You need to be able to analyze that. And you can only do that when you write things down. And so it is important to record diseases, because if you don't write it down, you can never measure what you have. And also, if you then implement management practices to decrease the incidence of these diseases, then you need those data, because otherwise you can never measure whether it has an effect. Or if you don't record, you can never measure any progress that you have. And we also want to be able to show that we don't have that much disease to people that are looking over our shoulder. We may like it or not, that people are concerned about animal welfare, although, you know, every dairy farmer is concerned about welfare, because you like your cows and you want them to be healthy. But there are also people looking over our shoulders with that. And we also need to care because, for instance, the processors and the large supermarket chains care about it. We need to be able to show that we don't have a lot of disease problems. So writing these things down is important.
Yeah, I think that's a really nice summary. Again, I mean, it's not just about knowing what you're dealing with, which is of course important. It's a decision-making tool, and ultimately, like you say, it's also an evaluation tool. We can't know the impact of something if we haven't measured anything beforehand or once we've implemented it.
Yeah, correct.
And so if we're doing these, so I guess if I follow that logic through and think about the use of risk assessments, is the rationale behind asking producers to work with their veterinarian routinely to conduct risk assessments, whether it's every year or every other year, is that really just about trying to review everything and get a handle of how things have changed over that period of time? Is that really where the value of repeating this exercise goes?
Now, your veterinarian is somebody who sees a lot of farms and sees what can be done on farms and what is successful and what is not. So the veterinary practitioner is an ideal person to discuss these risk assessments with, or these SOPs, or whatever you implement on your farm or need to implement on your farm. And as a farmer, you're sometimes a bit blind to changes that slowly occur on a farm. And so it is important first to measure whether there are any changes, And then secondly, to discuss with the veterinarian on how to mitigate changes. Are we actually doing as good as last year, or are we actually a bit, doing a bit less? Or are we going towards the goals that we have set? Because it is what I often don't see at dairy farms is really objectives. Where do I want to be in a year? Where do I want to be with my farm in 5 years? You need objectives. Because if you don't know where you want to be in 5 years, it's like driving a car. If you want to go somewhere, you better know where you're going. Otherwise, you can never design a plan on how to get there. So you need to design, together with your veterinarian, a plan, and with every one on board on the farm, on how to get there.
Yeah, it's the old saying: a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Exactly. Yeah, but a plan without—I don't know if there's an English saying on what a plan without a goal is. Because that is, I think, even worse.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's a fair comment, actually. It's really about, and I guess what I like about the risk assessment is simply having the conversation, like you say, with someone who's got a different set of eyes, and it's not just the veterinarian. There's all sorts of people that have a different set of eyes when they come into a barn and things that strike them as important or a potential area of needing some work. And so there can be some benefit in having some open discussion about where you want to head, and then take some time to really think about what are those goals and objectives, and more importantly, how are you going to get there, and how are you going to evaluate what success looks like?
Yeah, and it's really important to have everybody involved. Yeah, our farms, particularly here out west, are a bit larger, and we more and more get personnel on the farm now, and it is really important to have everybody involved in the discussion about these things. The other people on the farm need to implement it. But also, I find it really important that the rest of the family that is involved with the farming activities also are part of the discussion. So we need to make sure that everybody on the farm, whether it's a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, or two brothers, or... And also, if there's a manager on the farm or the milkers, that they know what the objectives are and how that we want to get there. And that they also have a say in making those objectives, and also what the plan is to get there.
So if we sort of think about summarizing some of this up, what might be one of your one or two pieces of advice for farmers that are listening out there, Herman?
So the most important one, I think, is make objectives. Think about where you want to be in 5 years and really discuss it among everybody involved on the farm. And have your veterinarian involved in those discussions and bring it up over and over again. This is not a one-time thing, and you need to really look at, okay, am I getting towards those objectives? And then also talk with other farmers. Go to meetings and really discuss and ask other farmers openly about how they deal with problems.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think we see time and time again in the meetings that we do, and certainly I hear from many producers that there's a lot of value in learning from others. Certainly everyone's got a bit of a unique operation, but they're all facing similar challenges in many respects. And one thing about farmers that I find consistent is they're very creative in the ability to find solutions that work for their situation and for others as well.
Yeah, I really like study groups. Where particularly the smaller study groups, where you put together everything on the table. And one thing that I don't get is why people are so reluctant to put their economic results on the table. It's we're in general doing okay in the dairy industry, and we know what the price of milk is. So why not compare from farm to farm what the results are, and then discuss why that neighbor actually has a way better bottom line than you have, and you can learn from each other there. We were so reluctant doing that, and that really is a shame, because you can learn a lot from each other. Farmers are smart, like you said, Steve. Yeah, they know how to do things. They're well educated, and so you can learn a lot from your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it comes down to building trust, and that's why those study groups can really help. You get a small group together, and you can build a bit of trust there and open things up. I find that when I run those types of groups, most producers are very open over time to share that kind of thing, and they want to benchmark one another, because if they're not doing as well as someone else is, there's an opportunity to learn and maybe improve on their farm. So there can be mutual benefit. It's one of the advantages to a supply managed system, I think.
Yeah, exactly, and it is also a lot of fun to share with others if you had a problem and you found out how to deal with it, and it won't affect the bottom line of your farm if somebody else is going to adopt it.
Yep, no, that's great advice. Well, Herman, I think we'll end it there. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat with us. I think a really nice perspective that applies to much more than biosecurity, but for Canadian dairy farmers out there that are thinking a little bit more about implementing this on their farm and where they're headed, I think this is some sage advice for them to think about.
Always a pleasure, Steve.
Meet a Canadian dairy farmer. Planting one tree, then hundreds more. To naturally purify the air. Preserving wildflowers for pollinators. And nurturing wetlands for healthier soil. So wildlife can prosper.
Biodiversity is in our nature.
Working towards a sustainable future. That's Dairy Farming Forward.
We're in!
Well, sir, that was actually very interesting. I think we now know why biosecurity is so important and what farmers can do to minimize that risk of infectious disease from entering and spreading throughout the herd.
I think that Dr. Barkema brought forth a lot of important messages that shed some light, not only for producers out there when they're looking at how they might go about implementing biosecurity practices on the farm, but just for the general industry.
And so hopefully you also got some practical ideas that apply to your own farm to protect your herd's health.
All right, that's it for this episode of the Canadian Podcow. Thanks to Stephen Roche and Herman Barkema for the conversation, which is hosted by the Dairy Farmers of Canada's ProAction podcast series and partly funded by the Canadian Agricultural Partnership, a 5-year federal, provincial, territorial initiative.
Thanks also to our production team, Carl Bellanger and Bruce Sargent.
And also, regarding the PodCow Nation, please subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on our upcoming episodes, where we'll continue exploring essential topics for the Canadian dairy industry. Have a great day. Let's talk soon, everyone, and take care of yourselves and your farms.